started. Recently, I overheard a web manager say that alt tags were unnecessary and stupid. And I asked why she thought that and what that might mean for accessibility. And she said, well, accessibility is all about blind people, and blind people don't use the web. Has anyone experienced that before? Heard that? Well, our next speaker, Darren Fittler, he's vision impaired, and he uses the web a lot. He actually runs a web consulting business, as well as being a lawyer. So he's a busy guy. He's here to talk to you today about usability from a user's perspective. So you may have heard lots about usability before, but today we're actually going to see why it's important and just how important it is. So I'd like to welcome Darren Fittler to the stage. Thanks.
How's that going? It's going to be very good. Sorry. Well, good morning. If anyone had said I had to follow Joel in speaking, I may have actually wanted to speak either before or way later this afternoon. That was a great talk. Thanks, Joel. Two things come to mind. I'm actually wearing a pair of Abercrombie & Fitch pants today. I don't know what that says, really. I certainly didn't see the form. And I also wish that I'd actually heard that speech maybe about 4 months ago, because having brought home to my wife what I thought was the best gift in the world and wondering why since then she's hardly spoken to me, and working out that there was no return policy for disappointment of wife with the iRiver. But I found that the iRiver has, yeah, many more features and perhaps doesn't quite look as nice, but yeah, I have one too. And I guess that's another reason I bought the iRiver, was that there's a nice open source alternative firmware called Rockbox out there. And I believe that they're building ports of that for the iPod now as well. But at the time, that was a reason. This machine was not locked down as tightly as some of the other iRiver or iPod or the other, whatever that other one was called, you know, the Jukebox Extra Wigger version. And so because of that, developers could get in there and do a bit of work and make it usable. And in doing so, they were able to and have implemented a notion of having a voice file which allows the menus to be spoken as you arrow to and from the different menus. So an absolutely unusable MP3 player has become very usable for me. It does say, please only use this if you're a developer. But beggars can't be choosers. The thing crashes quite a lot, but it's certainly something that I find much enjoyment in using. Today, I would like to take you through, I guess, a user's perspective, how one uses screen reading software whilst on their mission throughout the net. And a lot of what Joel was speaking about, I'll touch upon in terms of happiness and emotion. Also talking about aesthetics and things like that. Blind people almost always have to be a little bit more geeky by nature, because one of the first things they ask is, I don't care what it looks like, but, you know, what's inside? what's the good bits? What operating system does it use? How much RAM does it have in its memory? You know, what speed processor is it using? What chipset have you got? What's the graphics card? Because I know some things, you know, particular graphic cards don't work with my software, etc., etc. So I've got a keyboard in front of me now, and I'm going to see. Well, we don't have
desktop folder view list.
There we go. Crikey, that's loud, isn't it? The software I'll be using or demonstrating today is called JAWS, Job Access with Speech. Maybe it's because it came up with a cool acronym, being JAWS. I don't know why. There are other screen reading software out there. One's called WindowWise. Another one is called HAL. JAWS, I guess, I could probably attribute to similar to Microsoft. It's perhaps the most widely used, the most well-known, and perhaps the most, because it's the most widely used, most people have heard of it, and most people, that's where you'll get support for it. Doesn't necessarily mean it's any better than the others, but it's what I use and what I have. I'll just see if I can...
Slow
it down a little bit.
Slower.
It really is loud, isn't it?
Slower.
There we go. All right. What a screen reading software program does for those...
Not selected, recycle pin.
Shush. For people who don't know, is that it has a look at what's on the screen and then renders it in voice, as you can hear, in computerized or synthetic voice. When I try to explain this to people, they say, oh, wow, you talk to your computer. It's like, no, my computer talks to me. All right, so you can tell it what to do. It's like, no. It tells me what's going on after I've told it what to do. So I take great pains to explain that I can touch type, that I don't need a mouse because if things are designed properly, there should be keystrokes, not always, and that all that combined with having a screen reading software program to read to me what I'm doing allows me to be reasonably independent. Now, if software packages and the internet are not designed in such a way that allows me to use keystrokes, that's very image-based, click with the mouse. If it's, you know, Flash only, if there's lots of, I guess, Java going on, if there's all sorts of... I've come to software programs that I've been downloading and installing, and even to get through the wizard, the tab key doesn't even work. You know, to tab from one field to the next field to type in your data to enable you to install the thing, the only way you can bring focus to that window is to, or into that box, is to use your mouse. Screen reading software does allow you to, I guess, use a mouse in such a way as you move around the screen and try and work out what's going on, and then you can bring focus there, but it's a very arduous and cumbersome task, and even with that sometimes it's impossible to do without sighted assistance. And having to go through all that is not a very happy experience, and it's emotions that come out there are frustration and anger and other sorts of things, and then the strong desire for a beer or a coffee. So let's see how we're going to go here. I'm going to go in.
Start menu, internet, the navigate, press up or down arrow, I.
Can people can see what's happening on the screen, yeah? That's good.
Leaving okay. Menus. Microsoft Internet Explorer. Opening page, http://www.hp.com/country/hp.
Okay, so we're going to Hewlett-Packard, it seems.
The internet.
Okay, done. So let me go to...
open dialogue type.
What's probably...
www.
My area, most...
W. Land. W. Google. Com.
We'll go there. Put the AU. I'm from Australia, if you couldn't tell.
Oh. Google search edit.
They say that, you know, if you're nervous up on stage, you should picture your audience naked. That doesn't really work for me. But I just pretend there's not so many of you out there and we should be okay.
Edit.
All right.
Google.
So here we are on Google. The difficulty with demonstrating screen reading software is that the way it works, by attempting to look a bit behind the scenes and give me, the user, the information that I need, is that often when we're tracking through, where I am on the page, you're visually probably not there, but we'll persevere, and I'm sure that I can give some good examples as we go. I'm going to try and show you a couple of sites that I go to that are absolutely ridiculously awful and terrible, and I'm pretty sure that none of you will be that. I didn't actually look through who was going to be here. I could have been mean, but I thought I'd just go with the flow. And then show you a couple of sites, or at least one, see how we go with time, that, you know, does a pretty good job. And have a bit of a talk along the way about why I'm thinking it's good and why I'm thinking it's bad. I have some knowledge of the World Accessibility Standards, but that's not what I pitch myself as an expert in. I'm just a person who uses a computer and uses screen reading software. I'm a lawyer, but I did do social work first, if that helps make you feel any better about me. So I have a social work degree and a law degree, and I now practice in a big corporate law firm in the centre of Sydney. And because of that, I'm on the internet almost every day. Well, I am on the internet every day. People from Google here will be happy to know that when my law searches of all my special legal databases go wrong, I just turn to Google and it usually comes up with the goods. I should go there first, perhaps. No. So I have a fair bit of experience in trying to use websites and use fairly complicated online databases, doing legal searches, usually through the LexisNexis, Butterworths online subscription and other things, if you're familiar with them. So, when you bring someone to your office to give them the sack, normally you say you've got to say something nice first before you say something bad. I'm going to do it the other way around. I'm going to go to bad stuff first, and we'll look at the good stuff later. I won't do a search at this stage. I'll just go straight to...
Type the internet address of a document or folder and internet...
Okay, I'll slow it down in a moment. Maybe that will be helpful.
Google search edit.
Okay. I'm taking us to the National Association of Community Legal Centres.
Privacy dialog. The privacy icon appears in the status bar each time a cookie is restricted based on your privacy settings. To see a privacy report, double-click the icon when it appears. Don't show this message again. Checkbox checked. The clear checkmark. Press space bar. Alt plus D.
Right.
The privacy icon appears in the status bar each time a cookie is restricted. Settings ... button. OK button to activate. Press space bar. Frame logo.
I'm very, very, I'm continually amazed by this OK button. You're in the middle of something. Word crashes. You've lost all your information that you've just been working on. And it says Windows must now close. OK. It's like, no, that is not OK. What do you mean OK? I find that, anyway.
Untitled document.
So.
Frame logo frame.
Here we are.
Untitled document.
I'm just going to slow it down a bit.
Slower. Blank table with one column.
I should say that what I've done is screen reading software have lots of inbuilt features and customizability, if that's a word, it is now. And for instance, you can bring up drop-down boxes of lists of headings, of links on the page and various things. You can also decide whether or not, or if graphics are displayed or not, and you can decide whether or not, as you're going through, if the screen reader will tell you that you're entering a table or a frame or a list. So for the purposes of today's demonstration, I've actually said, look, tell me every time I come to a graphic. I could set that to only tell me about alt graphics, but I've decided for today that we're going to learn about every single graphic, including those lazy spacer images all over the place. I've also said, tell me when we're entering a table. I could define it to say, only tell me when we're entering a data table. But I've set it to tell me when I'm entering any table. So tables that have been used for formatting on pages will know that we're about to enter into one of those as well as we go. So I'm going to now hit the down arrow. I'll start at the top of the page and I'll hit the down arrow and just read through this linearly from top to bottom, which is how blind people and people with vision impairment, dare say people out there using portable devices trying to download websites without a full screen, are going to be looking at a site generally as well.
Untitled document.
Well, I'm quite usefully in an untitled document.
Blank. Table with one column and two rows.
I'm entering a table that has one column and two rows.
Link graphic images /logo1.
Oh, helpfully here, I've got a link. It's images/logo1. I wonder where that'll take me.
Blank. Nested table with two columns and one row. Nesting level 1.
Oh, so now it's a nesting table inside that table, which itself has two columns and one row.
Link graphic images /logo2.
Oh, images/logo2. Wonder where that'll take me.
Link graphic images /logo stars.
Oh, logo star? I'll show you what I'm reading in a minute, because I'll bring down the drop-down list box of all the links on this page, but we'll just keep exploring this very helpful website.
Table end.
Oh, the table end, didn't I?
Table end. Frame logo frame end. Blank. Frame menu frame. Untitled document.
frame and a new frame now, which is untitled, and is another untitled document.
Blank table with one column of link graphic images / menu 1.
Oh,
blank
one.
Nested table with graphic images / spacer clear.
Oh, an image spacer clear. That's good.
Link graphic images / links home mode on mouse over.
Oh, here's a mouse over.
Graphic
I wonder if that's just a pretty mouse over and actually a useful mouse over.
Link graphic images / links home mode on mouse over.
What's that? Link graphics logo home mouse over out. Mouse out over button.
Link graphic images / links about out on mouse over.
Oh, I mean, if you know what you're listening for, you can probably pick it up. There was an about somewhere in there. So the first one had a home halfway through it, and this one has an about halfway through it somewhere.
Link graphic images / links publications out on mouse over.
Publications. Buried in that long reference there.
Link graphic images / links conference out on mouse over. Link graphic images, link graphic.
Anyway, look, more.
Link graphic at table end. Blank graphic images / links at site.
What?
Images / links underline at site.
Links underline at site.
Table.
I don't know.
Image map link timer network / index.
Oh, now we got some image maps.
Frame menu frame blank frame header frame untitled document.
Do you want me to slow it down some more, or how's it going? Is that all right? Yeah? Okay. I'm glad you know, normally I go to conferences and people sort of put up their hands and stuff, so I'm glad you're being very vocal out there. Keep it up. Makes my life much easier, more enjoyable up here.
Blank, table with one cop, blank, nested table with graphic images / header one, graphic image.
How much information have I gotten here yet? Do I even know where I am really yet? No. It doesn't even have a useful title at the top of the page. I was like, just, it's ridiculous, isn't it, really?
Table end. Blank. Nested table. Link graphic images / menu about out on mouse. Link graph. Link. Graph table end. Table frame. Blank. Frame title frame. Untitled document. Blank. Table. Graphic table end. Framed. Blank. Frame. NACLC homepage.
Oh! NACLC homepage.
Blank. Table with one cop.
That's where I am.
Blank. Heading level 1, National Association of Community Legal. Heading level 1, Centres Australia.
Okay, well, it's used a header. That's helpful. It's probably about one of the only helpful things on this page. It's used a nice heading level, it seems.
Blank. Nested table. Blank. Latest news.
Latest news.
Blank.
Obviously, not an update to the website. They've known about this for a long time, and that's why I have no qualms in using them, because I told them at least 2 years ago and continue to tell them that this needs fixing. But, no, we don't have the funding. It's like, well, it doesn't cost much. So, anyway, I keep hoping they say, okay, well, will you do it? We'll pay you. But they haven't done that either.
Blank. Community Legal Center CLCS provide a range of legal services to individuals and their communities. These services include legal representation in courts.
Now, I'm hearing that. Is that on the screen? Can you track what's being read whilst it's talking to help you out? Yep. Good-o. Well, I'll speed it up then, see how you go.
Tribunals and other dispute resolution venues, as well as preventative services provided in the form of advice, information and referral services, community, legal education, law reform and policy reform work. Blank. Work by CLCS provides private benefits to the individuals involved. The clients of CLCS are people who live in disadvantaged circumstances and are often further disadvantaged by poor literacy or poor English language skills. Their legal problem is typically one of a number of interlinked problems. CLCS.
Or perhaps poor website design, I would say. So this is a site that's there for what it's talking about, the community. It's a basis where from here you should be able to, and I think if you could see what these images were, for a sighted person would probably know where these links are taking them. To find out who the community legal centre expert is in, you know, disability discrimination or in tenancy law, in general discrimination law, in employment law, in copyright and arts law, other sorts of things. There's specific community legal centres for all sorts of things throughout Australia. And this is the national association of all of them. And this is their website.
Play a crucial role in forms of legal as blank.
Okay.
The private benefits to the individuals as blank.
Yada yada.
What is the totally blank? This paper prepared of community legal analysis of the blank.
So just for argument's sake, let me now just go back to the top of the page, control home.
Frame logo frame.
I'm just going to see how many times I have to hit the down arrow to get to the good stuff. Help me count here.
Untitled blank, table with link graph blank, nested link graph table framed blank, frame untitled blank, table with link graph blank, nested graphic link graph link graph link graph link graph link graph link graphic link graphic link graph link graph table at blank, graphic image table and image map frame at blank, frame at untitled document blank. Table with blank, nested table, graphic images table end, blank, nested table, link graphic table end, frame header frame blank, frame title untitled dot blank, table with two graphic image table end, frame title blank, frame main for NACF blank.
Ah, 70. 70 times I had to hit the down arrow. That's probably two page downs, but I didn't know that. And, you know, I could run the risk of hitting page down a couple of times and skipping over stuff. Unfortunately, there's no real such thing as skim listening. I've tried. It doesn't really work. And you can, at the risk of skipping over stuff, miss the good stuff. So what would I ordinarily do if I came to a site like this? Well, I'd ordinarily leave. I wouldn't stay around very long, unless I'm doing a job and I'm at work and there's no alternative and I have to use it and I have to find out the information. Then I will do the best that I can. Let me show you what these links look like. I'll hit insert plus the F7 key, which is a JAWS feature, though I'm sure other screen readers have the same.
Links list dialog, links list view.
So there's my list of links.
Images slash logo.
So you can now see for yourselves what I'm hearing when JAWS comes across these links. There's no alt tags, there's nothing behind the scenes. Well, there's no alt tags, so JAWS does its best by going behind the scenes, looking at the image source or the href, whatever it might be, to give the user as best as information as it can, which in a site like this is still fairly difficult and not much good. I'll just escape out of that before I select one. Insert F6. Will bring up a list of headings.
Heading list dialog, headings list view, national associate.
Well, they've used one. So I'll just get out of that.
Blank.
Let's go back into this one.
Links list dialog, link.
Well, it's almost a bit of hit and miss, really. You just have to do it methodically. So ordinarily, I would go, okay, what's the first link
images,
on the page?
Images slash logo one.
Images slash logo one, that's a logo. Obviously, that probably means that it links to the home page, which I'm already at. But maybe it doesn't. I don't know. So let's hit enter on that and go
frame
to where that
logo
takes us.
Visited link graphic images slash frame logo.
So JAWS kindly tells me now that that's a visited link, so at least I know I've been there.
Untitled blank table with visited link.
And so let's see if I've gone somewhere new or not.
Blank nested tape visited link visit.
How many times was it? 70 or something?
Table that tape blank untitled blank.
Look, I won't put you through it. I suppose I probably am on the same page, being a logo page. So let's try something that
links list
by its description we think probably says publications. So let's find that one.
Images slash links conference out.
That's conference. I think our publications was
images
above that.
Images slash links publications out.
There it is. So that's what JAWS speaks to me, if you weren't quite hearing it properly, when I was over that link as coming down the page using the down arrow. So I'll just select that now.
Frame menu, visited link, grab a table. Frame logo frame.
Oh, so this is now says frame logo frame at the top.
Untitled document.
It's still an untitled document.
Blank.
A nice title at the top saying, you know, NACLC publications page. Not too expensive, I wouldn't have thought, to put that in there.
Table with one cup visited link graph blank. Nested table with...
All right, let's count, because I probably do want to see what publications
untitled
there are.
Untitled blank.
I can probably guess that about the first 20 or 30 presses are going to be rubbish.
Frame.
So I'll slow down after that. That's 70.
CLC public.
Hey, 71. We have a winner. NACLC publications.
Blank.
Terrific.
Table with one cop blank. Heading level one NACLC publications.
No, I'm getting the gist of this site now. If I'd just done that.
Heading list dialog. Headings list view. Heading.
Bring up a list of headings. I could have jumped straight there. Bam.
Frame main. Heading blank. Submission to the U blank.
So,
heading level.
That's if you know the site. You can do that, perhaps. Anyway.
Blank. Submission to the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights and Counterterrorism for Australia.
Mm.
Blank. Link graphic images /PDF part 1.
Link graphic images -PDF 1. I'm guessing that's the first part of whatever this is that we can download in PDF.
PDF format 807 KB.
Uh-huh.
Blank. Link graphic images /PDF part 2.
Oh, PDF part 2.
PDF format 97 blank, seeing families right. Blank, link graphic images /PDF seeing families right.
Right.
PDF format 160 KB.
Let me bring this list up so you can see all these nice little PDF
links. List dialog. Links list view. To move to items, use the arrow keys.
To move to items, use the arrow keys.
Images select.
Goes like nice and low like that when it's telling you instructions, you know, yeah.
Images /PDF page 6, slave labor.
So,
images /PDF page 5.
It doesn't take much to put a little alt tag on these and, you know, to be actually descriptive of what they're supposed to, what they are supposed to be linking to. This is probably a good time for me to talk a little bit about PDF documents and how it is true to say if you've got one of the more recent Windows operating systems and you've got one of the most recent Adobe Readers, and the person who made the PDF document knew what they were doing and they made it properly, then you can probably access it using screen reading software. The percentage of people that have the latest everything and the percentage of PDFs created correctly is so minimal as to say that you might as well be zero. I remember someone telling me once that about 1 or 2% of the world's literature is available in some other form other than print, be in Braille or audio cassette or, you know, something, some other form, which isn't much. The internet is a great opportunity for that threshold to be lifted. The day that I, you know, the Sydney Morning Herald went online and enabled me to read the newspaper was a great day because I'd never been able to independently read the paper before. So the internet has amazing ability to bring so much more to everyone. PDF documents, really, if they're going to be used at all, should be used together with other formats. Enable it to be a Word document, an RTF document, a text document, perhaps an HTML document. Remembering, however, that a PDF document's purpose is for you to be able to download it, take it away. It's not necessarily so easy to download an HTML file and take it away. Quite the same way, at least. Then we have the whole argument of, well, it's proprietary, it's copyright, we don't want anyone stealing it, using it, it's got to look this way or else. You know, it's a bit like arresting someone before they rob the bank, really, isn't it? The copyright laws are out there to stop people from breaching it. The law says you must not. So let's give people the benefit of the doubt and allow the, you know, true laws of the state to reckon with those that go off and breach whatever they're not supposed to breach. I would much prefer to be able to have Word versions of things instead of PDFs. And the whole separating content from front end is very useful in this regard. You may have used Butterworths or the LexisNexis online, I don't know. But once you get there and you've selected what you wanted and you've checked all your check boxes against the hits that you found and you want to read up on some really, really interesting topic of law like the implied obligation of good faith in contracts, and you go, wow, look, a whole, you know, 20 pages on it. Wonderful. So you select that and it brings up a download page and it says, what format do you want it in? And you can choose PDF if you want, but I don't. I choose Word document. And then you select download and it's there, it prepares it on the fly, provides a link, you right click it, save target as, onto your hard drive, bam, away you go. It's a wonderful thing. The Butterworth site itself is a very difficult site to get used to because the way you search and the way that you check boxes to open trees to find another sub-level down to open another tree and open another tree. And a website that once had about 30 links on it now has about 130 or 450. And you just can get lost very, very easily on a page like that. So that's probably enough on PDFs.
1155 at
.m. Pardon? There are nothing that I'm aware of at this stage that you can use in the way you describe, but there are a number of programs out there. I mean, OmniPage, I think, comes packaged with it. PDF Converter, PDF Transformer, there's a whole bunch of different products out there which have a crack at interpreting the PDF document with sometimes more success than others. OCR's come a long way, but it's still not 100%. And when you're a lawyer and you need the words to be accurate, you know, if the word is being rendered as hot, H-O-T, instead of the word not, N-O-T, it could both be in context okay and have completely different meanings. And you don't want to be making errors as a lawyer in particular. And it's by the time I've OCR'd something and had someone else in the office, usually, you know, my secretary or another word processor operator, to double check word for word, and even that is not necessarily going to mean it's still accurate at the end of the day. And that takes a long, long time. JAWS, I should say, and most other screen reading products cost about $1,500 Australian dollars, so it's not cheap. A good OCR package is going to cost you, you know, upwards of $500, $600, $1,000 again. So to expect people to have expensive, good, high-quality OCR software on top of their already expensive screen reading software, which often, you know, these days costs more than the computer itself, is perhaps a big ask. And I would put the onus back on the people who are producing the documents to, if they cannot, for some reason, save or keep the Word document that they've created the thing in the first place before they turn it to PDF, or are doing some kind of final editing in the PDF version, rendering the Word doc as not quite the last version, then to do what's needed at that point themselves, either through OCR, getting the thing copy-typed, using whatever tools are at their you know, at their hands to enable them to create that other version. So what shall I...
Images.
That's probably
images
enough of this
slash
site.
PDF.
That's probably enough of this awful thing. I'm so glad. Well, I'm thinking there's no one here from the National Association of Community Legal Centres. Maybe it'll embarrass them into doing something about it. Let me go to... What's happening?
Images slash PDF.
Right.
Open dialog. Type the internet address of a document or folder.
So again, just using shortcut keys. This is an Internet Explorer thing. Control O just brings up a nice little dialog box. Saves trying to go into the mouse cursor and find my way and click my way up into the address bar and all that sort of stuff. So where am I going to go?
www.smh.com.au.
Another Australian site.
Opening page H. Opening page HT.
Just taking a while. How are we going?
Downloading picture HT.
Oh, now we're downloading a picture.
Done internet.
Done. Nice. Okay.
Blank. Blank. The Sydney Morning Herald. Now.
I'm right at the top.
The Sydney Morning Herald.
Wow, that's it. I know where I am. There's a nice title at the top.
Blank.
That's very useful.
Welcome to the Sydney Morning Herald. Skip directly to.
So it tells me, it says, welcome to the Sydney Morning Herald. Skip directly to.
This page link search box.
An internal link, which takes me to the search box.
This page link section navigation.
To the section navigation.
This page link content.
To the content.
Link text version.
Or to a text version.
Link graphic Fairfax Digital.
Then there's a graphical link, which is link Fairfax Digital.
Link news.
Link to the news.
Link my career.
To my career. So all sorts of good stuff and fairly decently well-labeled links, well-labeled graphics. And some nice little things at the top of the page here, which I'll bring up in my insert F7.
Links list dialog. Links list view. Search box.
So there's, I would understand that they're not visible to you guys on the screen or to most users, but here is a series of links which I came across at the top of the page, which allows me to skip to either the search box,
section
to the section navigation buttons,
content,
to the content,
text version,
or to a text version. Now, a text-only version or a text version, to me, is only needed if you can't make your website accessible for it, you know, for the main site as accessible as it can be. That really, there should be no need for a text-only version. Sure, if you want to provide a printer-friendly format for all users to use to be able to read or to print, fine. But a specific text-only version that is there specifically for, I guess, people with vision impairment is generally something that shouldn't be required. If you absolutely must use some terrible flash-only oriented thing, then, well, maybe, yeah, a text-only or a non-graphical site or something is to be, it would be useful. But it really isn't, or really isn't something that should be necessary. And again, I know you can put the content out the back and you hit text only and it brings everything forward and that kind of thing, but you also can run into troubles, and why manage two separate sort of parallel sites when managing one can take quite a lot of effort and time as it is. I am assisting an agency in Australia at the moment with their website, and they have their text only version. And I think I've convinced them that they don't really need it. They thought they were doing the right thing by it, but in the end, we had so many bugs with what was being produced, and you know, we'd have a bunch of search hits come up, we'd have, you know, 200 hits on a particular search term, and then we click text only, and suddenly we didn't have any hits anymore. And all sorts of bugs like that, all the time. And I said, well, we can spend hours debugging your text-only version, or we can put the same amount of effort into just getting your main site right. So that's what we've been doing.
Fairfax Digital. News. Text version. Content. Section navigation.
Well, what I'll do, let me log in.
PC.
If I can remember my logon. The beauty about cookies is you don't have to remember until you're somewhere where you don't have cookies, and then you're stuffed, aren't you, really?
Search box. Link my career, virtual.
All right.
The Sydney Morning Herald.
A nice little shortcut key for screen reading users, for me at least, with JAWS, is the F key will jump me to the very first form field I come across on the page.
Search SMH, edit.
Which is nicely labelled as search SMH. I know that's not my login.
Go button.
Go.
Untitled 1, www.smh.com.o$119 button.
What's that?
CX 3700.
We'll just ignore that.
Buy a multifunction printer blank. Rollover.
So you're having a good live example of, you know, faffing about a web page trying to work out what's going on.
Make this my Amiga JT400 PC. Untitled 2 frame end. Untitled 1 frame.
Bit confused where I am now. What's going on?
www.smh.com.au. Untitled 1.
That's okay.
The Sydney Morning Herald.
Da-da-da.
Links list dialog. Login.
There we go. There's a login, so we'll go to that. So what I did then is I brought it up. I knew there must be a login somewhere because it's often called login, so I just hit the letter L.
One frame and 45 up.
And it jumped me down to the first link that was listed in that box that started with L. So it's just a quick way of navigating through a site that once you sort of get the hang of, and if general terms are used more often than not, you know pretty well what terms you can use.
Username, edit.
Username.
Forms mode on. Username, edit, type and text.
Oh, dear. Maybe.
Baron 44. Password. Password edit. Type text.
I don't use that for anything else either, by the way, so that's all right. And even if I did, you don't know what's in this password box. Jaws used to, even though stars came up, talk out loud what you typed. So that was good if no one could understand what Jaws was saying, but it didn't give you much of a sense of security, that's for sure. But you're glad to know if I hit tab now, it should say...
Star, star, star. Login button.
There we are. Star, star, star. That's good.
Forms mode off. Login button. One heading and two links. Heading level one login. Left bracket traffic F2 network. Login F2 network graphic graphics. On internet. Welcome to the Sydney Morning Herald. Skip directly to... Link Graphic Fairfax Digital Tech. Link Graphic Fairfax Digital. Link News.
Alright.
Link My Career.
Let me go to the skip to
the Sydney Morning Herald, National World Business Plan.
Oh, the other thing that I should mention, which is very interesting and I hadn't really come across before, is the using of the tab order feature when programming these things. And the website I was helping test and develop, the same one I was mentioned before, I hit the tab key and the first thing it took me to was to a form field, which was about halfway down the page. When I'm used to, the first thing you get to is the first thing on the page. And if you're going to be putting these nice little hidden links at the top of the page, either by making them the same colour as the background so no one else can see them, or making them very small pixel size graphics and giving them alt tags, it's...
Section navigation.
Well, it's important that firstly they work, because they don't always work.
Search box.
Where's that?
Section navigation.
Content. And it's important that if they're at the top of the page, then when I hit the tab key, they're the first things I get to, because that makes logical sense. It's probably been used before, but I've come up with a somewhat wanky term for some of the work I do, because I felt like I really needed a wanky term, one even more wanky than corporate lawyer. And so I call all this interface logic. Yeah, how about that? It's on my business card now. I didn't have one of those either until last week. So it's all about how I, as the user, can interface with these things and what makes sense and what makes logic, what is logical. And if you make a logical site, then half of your accessibility worries or job is over. If it's intuitive, if it's usable, if you can get to it, if you know what you're doing, if everything makes sense, then that's half the battle.
Text version. Content.
So where are we going? Going to content.
Title 1, www.smh.com.o, $100, CX3700 button.
Actually, I'll show you this way as well. Just bring it.
Heading list dialog. Heading list view. www.smh. Thursday, May 25th. 20,061. They are petrified. Timer expert 2.
So this is the list of headings that we've got.
Map. 94 km in the school zone. 3. Factory fire suspicious. Stable.
I still haven't worked out if I logged in successfully or not.
Pedestrian hit. Who dead? 3 critical. 3. Factory fire. Map.
I'll soon find out when I try and read something.
They are petrified. Timer expert.
Oh, let's see what this is about. I can activate this link, or I can move the focus down to it. So
move the heading button to activate. Press space bar. Alt plus M.
Well, sorry. Move to heading. Move to that heading.
They are petrified. Timer expert. Heading level. Land. Heading level 2 link. They are petrified. Timer expert. They are petrified : timer expert. Space E X P A T. Land. Expert. Expert E X P A T.
What's that? Timer extant.
Space.
All right. All right.
Link graphic 25/TH timer 3. Heading level 2 link. They are petrified. Timer. Link graphic 8:59 a.m. Australians advised to flee. Duly arrived in Darwin last night. Fearful for East Timer's future. Land. Link troops will be peacekeepers. Link Australians will lead East. Link troops will be peacekeepers.
Troops will be peacekeepers. Oh, well. Oh, that's a bit heavy duty. Oh, well, we'll go there anyway. I'll just get Jaws to tell me the time. I'll make no pretense of pretending, what the time is and, being slick and stuff.
12:08,
that's fine. I used to only have a talking watch, and, imagine being in a tutorial class trying to work out how much longer you've got to stay awake for. Bing! The time is 12:32 p.m. I wonder who wants to know the time. So I quickly made the investment in a sort of a braille watch, but still, clicking the lid off the top of that. And I've been at a conference with a lot of blind people, and they're all getting a bit antsy, and just hear the whole sort of auditorium, bing, 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 bing. Hearing the time in about 7 different languages being spoken, electronic voice. If I start hearing that, I'll know that it's time for me to wind up pretty quick.
Do not show this message again. Checkbox not checked. Check press space R. Alt plus D. OK button to activate press space R.
What's this OK carry on about?
JAWS to keep not checked. Do not show this message again. Checkbox not checked. PC.
Because that data in this box, I mean, I can tab to through these things.
Do not show this message again. Checkbox not checked. Learn about the information bar dot 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 link. OK button to activate press space bar. Do not show this message again. OK button to activate press.
But for me to, because I wasn't paying attention when it came up, for me to actually read what these buttons are relating to, I know it's some kind of question box, a dialogue box. It wants me to do something. This is where the PC cursor, if you like, can't get there by hitting the up and down arrow. All that does is just move you similarly, a bit like the tab key does, through the actual form field. So I need to turn the JAWS cursor on, which is almost like a virtual mouse and allows me to walk around the screen without being stuck to the boxes, if you like. And JAWS cursor, so it can make sure that I know that I'm in JAWS cursor, is in a slightly deeper voice. And you can, in fact, customize it to change the type of voice, the speed of voice, the tone of voice, all those sorts of things. But I'll just keep it the way it is for now.
R near the top of your browser. Web page does not display properly. Look for the pop-up with the information bar alerts you when Internet Explorer. Did you notice the information bar dialog?
Sorry, let me...
Slower. Information bar dialog. Information bar dialog.
It's an information bar dialog.
The information bar alerts you when Internet Explorer blocks a pop-up window or file download that might not be safe. If a web page does not display properly, look for the information bar near the top of your browser. Not checked, do not show this message again. Learn about the information bar dot 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 OK button. Learn about the information bar dot dot PC. Do not show this message again. Learn about the OK button to activate press space bar.
OK. We'll get rid of that then.
Click here to find out more related coverage. Click here to find... Add placeholder to frame end.
I might speed that up again. Well, no, I'll go to this thing.
Heading list dialog. Headings list view. Related coverage. 4. Troops will be peacekeepers. 1.
So there's my list of headings. It's used headings, so headings are a very useful tool for me. I come to some sites which have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of links and hundreds of lines of text and no true headings. And no way really of... there might be an internal table of contents with internal links anchored to sections of the page further down, but that's not necessarily always going to be there either.
Troops will be peacekeepers. 1.
Let's move to that link, shall we?
Move to edit. Troops will be peacekeepers. Blank. Add placeholder toolbox. Link www.virgincredit.com. Add placeholder. Link email. This page link print. This page link normal font.
So I can email it, I can print it, I can use normal font.
This page link large font.
I can use large font.
May 25th, 2000.
That's useful for some, but not for me.
Blank. Add placeholder. Blank. Click here to find out more. Frame.
I'm in an ad now. It's saying click here to find out more. It's absolutely useless to blind folk because it's like click here to find out more. About what?
Click here to find out more.
Yeah.
Click here to find out more. Add placeholder. Add
right.
Blank.
It's an ad placeholder. That's what it tells me. And click here to find out more. So, well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Australia.
So if you ever want to advertise to the blindness community, think of another way, because you're not going to get many hits this way, that's for sure.
Blank. MR Downer said an advanced team had left for timer about 7 a.m. and would meet with the nation's prime minister, press chief, to discuss the details of Australia's deployment. Blank.
Okay, we don't really want to learn about all that. That's just more by way of example. So what was the first part? Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot to be said for having... Well, what it comes down to, again, it's all about usability. I've used some websites and I've helped some people with their websites that have put all the content right up the top of the page. It's the very first thing you come to. And on the face of it, that's very nice because you don't have to hit the down arrow 70 times to find the content. It's right there at the top for you. But what happens if you're a user that you don't really want the content? You know that this page you're going to is just the next step into where you want to go to next, and you need to click on the links. Well, the links are all the way down the bottom. Sure, you can use Control End and take yourself to the down and then read backwards. I'm not very good at reading backwards. And so if there was just having some kind of internal navigation system that allows you to get to the part of the page that you want to get to. This whole sense of being in control that Joel was talking about, the notion that you're the person who's driving the thing, and when you do what it says you're going to do, it does it. You click on a button that says, I'm going to skip you to the content, and it takes you to the content. It doesn't just stay where it is. It's not broken. It works. The idea that you have links labeled properly, don't call a link download. Yes, to a sighted user, the download button, it might be very obvious what it does because the text near it and around it gives you the context. But if you're bringing up one of these lists using the insert F7,
forces code the timer.
Then having 17 headings all called download doesn't give you any idea of what you're downloading. Same with the word more, here. Click here. It's one of my favorites. Click here for what? You know, more what? And often you can meld the more into, I mean, if it's a newspaper article and it's got a headline, why not just integrate what it is into, you know, read more about, blah, 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 blah. And if it's a link, you know it's a link. So you know if you click it, you're going to go somewhere. So if the link says publications, it doesn't need to say click here for publications. For more publications, link title, click here. Doesn't take much for the whole thing just to say more publications. You may even find that you're saving some space on your website, making it maybe even a little less cluttered by not having three or four links all clustered together. The headline of the article is a link, the key phrase is a link, and then you've got this thing saying more, it's a link. And you click either of those and you go to exactly the same place. For me as a user, I've learnt that that happens quite often. But in the early stages, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll click that. Now where am I? 70 down arrows later, oh, right, it's the article. Go back, click the next link. Okay, where am I? 70 down arrows later, oh, it's the same article. And I do that with the more. Oh, well, those took me to the article, so if I actually click more, maybe I'll get more than just the article. And I click that, and it's, oh, yeah, it's just the article. Meanwhile, I've wasted half an hour of valuable billable time. Unfortunately, I can't actually bill my clients for how long things truly take me to do. I'd be one of the top billing client on the firm, and I'd probably have no clients because it'd just be absurd to charge someone 4 hours to find out how to write a stat deck in Victoria. So it's just absolutely imperative for me as someone using a website to try, well, to be able to be as efficient as possible. I'm the first to admit that even with all the good stuff, I may actually be a little slower than some. However, perhaps, you know, sometimes quicker, but not necessarily. I'd like to use an example, I guess, of why it's important, really, for there to be a user testing phase or to be some kind of input by a person who is using this kind of software in order to truly know if your site is going to be accessible. And it is no malicious desire, I'd like to hope, of web programmers that they want to, you know, stuff it up for the blindies. It's more that it's just not thought about. And if it is thought about, because the experience is so, I guess, foreign, then it's the, how it actually integrates is something that's hard to perceive. Let me also say that when I'm talking about accessibility for blind folk, there are all sorts of other accessibility, I guess, standards and designs and other things for other disability groups. For systems that allow for use on small portable devices, that the word access really should be thought about in a global, broad, true sense of the word, access. I'm sure that you all know about, or if you haven't already heard about it even over these next few days, that, you know, one of the first things is, well, what's the first part of access? Well, the first part of access, I guess, is knowing about it. And I'm not going to spend today talking about how you advertise your websites to make sure that the broadest amount of people know that you're there. I'm sure you've read or perhaps probably even written yourselves many books and articles on that kind of thing. It's more about, well, once you're there, once you know it exists and you've gone to that site, what happens next? If you have an awful experience, then you're not going to necessarily want to come back. Like a ramp into a bank, which might be mandatory now because of disability discrimination laws, it is a ramp that will benefit more than just people who use wheelchairs in the long run. People with prams and shopping trolleys, people who are temporarily injured using crutches or wheelchairs themselves. There are often very unforeseen benefits to making something accessible. In Sydney and across Australia, they're rolling out now accessible buses, low floors, where there's no steps at all. That if you need to, they can pop out a little ramp as well to merge the gap. But generally, it just sort of kneels down and it's a fairly seamless flow. They were brought in because of laws that saying, well, public transport needs to be made accessible. But what they didn't count on was the fact that now the time it takes for people to get on and off the bus is so much quicker that now increase the efficiency of the entire public transport system, because the amount of time it would ordinarily take people to walk up the steps, get on the bus, pay the driver, sit down, and all that sort of stuff has been reduced dramatically. And so it's all about the fact that this thing which is accessible and then at the same time needs to be and becomes usable. And they don't necessarily go hand in hand. I've been told by a friend of mine that it is possible to build the most perfectly to building standards accessible toilet that a person using a wheelchair cannot get into. If you go by the strict letter of the law or the straight letter of the design. You can also build the most beautifully accessible toilet you've ever seen in your entire life and put it up four sets of stairs, which is, you know, defeats the purpose really. The gym I go to has an accessible toilet, except there's like three stairs to get up into the toilet area and then seven to get to the gym floor. So I don't quite understand, but it's there. So it's not just about following the standards, it's about making sure that it's usable. The work I've just been doing, they had at the top of the page a nice lot of links, and they were links to the navigation section, the content, the search box, similar to what we saw at the Sydney Morning Herald website. And what they had also done was attached access keys to those points. Alt 1 for this, Alt 2 for that, Alt 3 for this, Alt 4 for the other. And it wasn't until I was there and just using it and explaining things to this person that he realised that perhaps that was a bit of overkill. All I would normally do if I'm lost on a page is use Control Home. I'm now at the top of the page. What's the first thing I have at my fingertips at the top of the page? Those four links. I don't necessarily need an access key to jump me to those. It may be better to have access keys, if you want to use them at all, attached to things like the contacts link, the publications link, some commonly things, you know, Alt-P for publications, Alt-C jumps you to the contact us link. Things that are intuitive, that make sense, that may not be easy to get to generally, but is something that you feel is important for someone to jump to or to be able to get to. So it was through that testing that this guy said, oh, I sort of realised now it'd be a bit stupid to put the access keys against those because it's very easy for you to get to those anyway. And it was through that process of education, I guess, that made these developers a bit more aware of what was going on. I'm just going to take you to another site. Sorry for the boring legal stuff, but that's what I do. So that's what I know. What's going on?
Win $5,000 worth.
What am I winning? Win $5,000? What?
Blank.
Wow.
Force blank. Forces could be in timer within.
Now it's gone. So I've lost my opportunity.
On internet.
I don't know what it was talking about.
Open dialogue. Type the
www.ostlee.edu. The Australian Institute, Legal Institute. Law,
oh, something. Related coverage. 113 links, table with one column and one column.
So this page has 113 links on it.
Australasian legal information, it's blank.
I use this site quite often, so I know I go BAM!
Links list dialog. See contact. See Commonwealth.
See for the Commonwealth. Hold on, let's go New South Wales.
New South Wales.
BAM.
Act legislation. New South.
I use an internal search feature.
Find.
Search for Consolid.
Consolid. Auslite. Link New South Wales Consolidated Acts.
New South Wales Consolidated Acts. Let's go there.
Three headings and 48 links. Table with two call table.
I now know that I get the A to B. Let's use
links list
the
dialogue. B.
B.
Blank. One heading and south.
Let's go
links
to...
Links list Ox. Boxing and Wrestling Control Act 1986.
The Boxing and Wrestling Control Act. Let's go there. Just
images
the hell of it.
Tiny Osley. New South Wales Consolidated Acts. Heading.
You get asked to do all sorts of things when you work in a corporate law firm, and for some reason, as a bit of a freebie to one of our clients, I was asked to do a bit of a searching on Muay Thai, which is like some really hardcore like Thai kickboxing thing, because a client was, you know, ahead of some association and wanted to see whether or not it was constituted as boxing underneath the Boxing and Wrestling Act. Nothing at all to do with software licensing or mergers and acquisitions, but we did it because we were asked to.
Left rack.
And my middle name, I think, is Pro Bono. Seems as if there's any freebie work to do, it's like, let's go get Darren, he'll do it.
Link index.
And so here we are. This site so far has had none of this skip to content, skip to search box, skip to search results, whatever, whatever. This site doesn't use it. It would benefit from it, but because I use this all the time, because it's fairly logical, because I've got my little drop-down boxes, because it's used properly labelled links, because it, you know, has a fairly sensible bit of sensible profile.
Left rack.
I haven't really found myself wanting them too much.
Link table. Left bracket. As at 17 March, act blank table of blank link long title. Blank blank. Part 1 preliminary.
The long title.
Blank link 1. Name of act.
The name of that.
Link commencement.
We don't really. Do you want to know what the definition of boxing is? Let's have a look.
Link 3.
Why not?
Part 2 the link box. Link boxing. Link authority of New South. Blank link 4. The link authority.
Where is it?
Boxed virtual. Twin. Boxing and wrestling.
Yep.
Boxing and virtual. Diction. Boxing and
it's
wrestling.
Not called dictionary, not called definition. Oh, look, I don't know where it is. Doesn't matter.
Back.
What time we got?
12:27
p.m. Oh, crikey, it's 12:27 and your stomachs are growling. I can hear them. I'll stop now by concluding and by allowing for some quick questions. You may have got a bit of a sense that this was, you know, maybe felt a little bit all over the place today. I haven't necessarily spoken in a particularly logical fashion. That's generally been pretty well done on purpose to try and give you guys, the audience, a bit of a feel of what it might be like as a person with vision impairment or a person who is trying to access a site, no matter who you are, finding that it's not particularly usable. You don't know where you are, you don't know how to get to where you want to go, you don't even know what's on offer on this particular page. You can't be certain that you're going to get what they say you're going to give you, and that it can be a particularly frustrating and time-consuming and troubling time. You also tend to throw out all stops. When a site's not accessible, you just say, okay, well, what are the headings? What are the links? How can I possibly do this? You have a crack at everything in every way you can, and you may not do that in any particular order every time. The importance of sites being accessible and really being usable, and I think that I'd rather say usable than accessible. Perhaps usable is the overarching umbrella term, and underneath that as a subset is, you know, being accessible. Who knows? But they are concepts that one should keep in mind at all times. That, like the Paris buildings with the ugly fire escapes, which they refuse to put on because it looks ugly and clunky, if those buildings had been built with fire escapes as part of its initial building plan, it would have been much more aesthetically pleasing. They would have integrated it and made it slick. They would have put the fire escapes internally. Or if they had put them externally, they would have made them look beautiful and as part of the building. Like websites, you need to consider accessibility at the planning stages, at the implementation stage, and you also need to consider usability from users during those phases as well. because it'll be much cheaper in the long run. Retrofitting is ugly often, time-consuming and expensive. If you can keep things in mind when it comes to looking at the standards as the W3C produces, get people to have a crack at your site and see what goes on, then the World Wide Web will be a much more happier place for all of us. And I'd like to encourage you all to make the World Wide Web a place that we can all use, we can all access, and we can all have fun in. So I'll conclude there and open the floor for questions.
Yeah, buddy. Hello. Oh, again, there we go. My question is about the Acrobat. Mm-hmm. Would you be able to tell us maybe one or two of the most important things that one could do or not do to make the PDF accessible?
I guess like the HTML, Acrobat has its own internal structured markup language that you can use to make sure that headings are headings and those sorts of things. And I guess just going through that protocol and following those guidelines in making your PDF document in the first place would be, you know, the best thing to do.
Amanda, can you give him the microphone?
I just thought I'd make a comment. I'm also an accessible user of web pages, and there's a great site called Dive Into Accessibility for web developers out there if you guys want to take a slow step into learning about the whole field. It's a nice, gentle introduction.
I have a question. There's a trend these days more to replacing little bits of a web page rather than refreshing the entire page. Does that affect how JAWS works? Does it make JAWS unusable? And if it does make it more difficult, what can a designer do to help you out?
No, that's a great question. You're right. I find it all the time. Again, with the LexisNexis, you click a button and it sort of spreads out another tree, giving you another four or five links as, I guess, sub-chapters or even headings under chapters. My first point would be try and put as much information as you think is possible on the one page that are at the one time. The Sydney Morning Herald, probably for advertising reasons, has the great habit of, you know, having four different pages and you have to click next to get to the next bit of the article. And so to read an entire article, you need to click through four separate pages. They have, fortunately, in the last little while, now implemented, you know, view entire article. So you can click that and read the whole thing in one hit, which is much better. If there's going to be a lot of information on the page, a little set of links at the top of the page, like a content style page that'll link you to each of the different levels, or put some nice headings in, heading one, heading two, heading three, even all the way down to heading level six if you feel that you need to, with the old H1, H2 HTML tags, allows me with the insert F6 key to bring up a page and navigate there. So I guess the first point would be put as much on the screen as you think should be on the screen at once. If you can't, or don't think that it works, make sure that like information is together, that links that take you to more information is next to and around the information that you've just been talking about. You might say, well, that makes sense, that's logical. But it is, that's good. There are some sites, I haven't taken to any today, that will talk about something and just in the middle of nowhere for no good reason has a link to something completely different. And the link that relates to the information that you've just been reading about is also somewhere else and nowhere near where you are. So that would be, I guess, step two. What sometimes happens is that if you're refreshing the screen by in putting new content in, yes, it's the same page, but you've gone through a refresh to bring it up, JAWS refreshes with it and takes you to the top of the page. So you're now back at the top. So you have to arrow all the way back down again or use your internal links to move yourself back down to where you were, to the link that you triggered, which then brought up some more information. Now, like a mouse over, sometimes you're not certain where that information has changed. Is it directly beneath the button you've just clicked, or is it a completely new frame somewhere else on the page that's changed? it brings up all sorts of different difficulties. If you can't see the page, how do you know that a change has occurred? And mouse overs for aesthetics only, I would suggest, are fine if you want. But mouse overs that bring up, I'd say, like a drop-down list of further options is very difficult, because the mouse over is triggered by the mouse. As you've seen, I don't really use the mouse. So to use the Jaws cursor, bring the mouse over it, sort of have a bit of hit and miss of hovering in the right place, to bring up what you think is a mouse over, to then move that mouse to where you need to be to select the next item without triggering another mouse over or stopping that mouse over from being there in the first place, becomes very, very difficult. Simple solution, hit enter on the mouse over, make it a link, let that link you to the page or to a page which gives you exactly the same options as the mouse over had given you. There is no easy, quick answer to this increasing the content on the page as you go by clicking buttons and doing things, except to say try and make it as close to that event as possible, not all the way down the bottom left-hand corner to something that you've done in the top right-hand corner. Try and keep those expanding trees or that increasing information, as close to the area where the event's been triggered in the first place would be my advice. Yeah. Yep, I mean, that could certainly work. I mean, there's so many wonderful little tricks and tools here now that allow us to, using headings, using those little hidden links that allow you to skip to places, using the more, read more about this article, whatever it might be, is, all there to be used. Have a go, get some people in to use it, and see how they find it.
For decorative... Oh.
Sorry, we might have to actually wrap up there. Darren, that was great. Webstockers, give Darren a great big round of applause. Okay, if we now want to go back into the exhibition area, lunch is being served. Yum yum. And at 1:10 in here, there'll be a brief Pilates session, so if you want to, stretch out and whatnot, just come back in here at 1:10. Okay? Cool. Hey, that was awesome.